In the name of the God of all, Creator, Redeemer, and Breath of Life.
Amen.
I've always loved today's lessons from Acts, when the Holy Spirit poured out on those first disciples and they started speaking in different languages. With rushing wind and tongues of fire, the apostles, the disciples who then became apostles, experienced the presence of God. The Holy Spirit descended upon them and literally inspired them to shed their fears and go out into the busy streets of Jerusalem, packed with folks from all over who'd come to the city to mark the holiday. And then Peter gets up and gives a speech that doesn't try to explain away the strange and wondrous things that were happening. Peter gives what must be one of the all-time best opening lines in a sermon. He says, "Okay, I need to clear up something, some confusion right up in the beginning. We are not drunk. For heaven's sakes, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning and the bars haven't even opened yet." And then Peter goes on to talk about the Spirit turning the world upside down. It is strange and wondrous and more than a little scary. It is about the power of the Holy Spirit let loose in the world and a people filled with the Spirit of God and who have been empowered to change the world. I love Pentecost because it makes clear to me that from the very beginning, God has intended that all persons of every nationality and ethnicity and race and ability are part of God's community of love and inclusion. The whole world, everybody. Remember the text from John, "God so loved the world." Pentecost represents the inbreaking of God's purposes for all humanity, bringing humanity together in understanding in spite of all of our differences. Imagine the scene that is described for us. The setting is Jerusalem, about 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. The city is filled with Jews from all over the known world, people who have come to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, known to Greek-speaking Jews as Pentecost. This joyful celebration commemorates the giving of the law to Moses, and it took place about 50 days after Passover. If you recall, these disciples who suddenly are emboldened had more or less been in hiding. And they've been waiting for the comforter or the advocate, as Jesus had told them to do, but they had no clue. They had no clue what they were waiting for. Luke then tells us that miraculous things happened immediately. The apostles experienced the presence of God. They were empowered to speak in different languages that they didn't know previously. From our account, the coming of the Holy Spirit was a noisy and visibly stunning event, which turned a bunch of frightened disciples into bold proclaimers of the good news of God's gift to the world in Jesus the Christ. Thousands of lives were transformed by the preaching that day, and later in Luke's chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, we hear that the membership of Christ's newly born church grew exponentially. Our reading of these 2,000-year-old scriptures every week is intended to make connections with our 21st century lives. And it is true of all our lessons, especially this one from Acts. What this passage makes clear is that God's word and God's love are open to all persons of all nationalities and races. It is certainly not restricted to Americans or Western Europeans or even Christians. The gospel of Jesus is for all persons. God's love is for all persons. And the church must not be confused with the destiny of a single nation or a single race. the primary identity of every person in the whole world is beloved child of God. God has created each of us, and each of us is beloved of God. That is true and will always be true, regardless of external identifiers or behaviors, regardless of which religious path or none that we choose to follow. So what does this mean in the 21st century? How are we to translate this excitement and live into the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the life of our community, and still beyond? I don't have to tell you that our world is sorely divided, or that political rhetoric, both at home and abroad, encourages racism and violence and divisiveness and nationalism, all contrary to the gospel of Jesus. You and I are called by our baptism to resist bigotry and intolerance, to remember that each and every person is created in the image and likeness of God. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul insists that among Christ's followers there is no longer Greek or Jew, neither slave nor free, but only the unity and the peace and the blessedness that derives from being children of faith. This is at the center of the Pentecost experience. Pentecost is traditionally a feast day on which we baptize new members into Christ's church, as we will do so shortly. Willa Ianair's parents will bring her to the font. When I pour water on her head, we are making the astounding claim that the triune God, the creator of heaven and earth, is claiming Willa as God's beloved daughter, uniting her to Christ in his death and resurrection, filling her with the Holy Spirit, and sending her out with gifts that can turn the world upside down. God in baptism is pouring out the Holy Spirit upon adults and children in order to resist evil, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to strive for justice and peace among all people. It sounds a little over the top, but in baptism and in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God uses us, frail, fragile, fallible human beings, to proclaim God's love in the world in word and deed, and bring about God's kingdom of love and justice and peace. And what do you know? God has nobody but us. It's our job. Willa, know that this community promises to walk with you in your faith journey, and together, maybe we can change the world. At confirmation, we also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Holy Spirit in every sacrament. The Holy Spirit is with us, whether we lived a Spirit-filled life that is inspired, that's kind of up to us. The word Spirit is the root of the word inspired, the very breath of life. That Spirit, Paul writes, bears witness with our spirit. Not a spirit of fear, but one of adoption. And I understand a spirit of adoption to mean the confidence and the courage that comes from knowing that each of us is a beloved child of God and has been chosen and accepted by God and loved just as we are. And what does that spirit compel us to do? To love God and to love others as ourselves. It's old news, but it's good and current news just the same. We know that the great lie of our own times is that we will find an inspired life contained in our own self-interest and in our own belief system. We can see the fruits of that all around us. The ideals that make for common good and for a just and civil society, kindness, compassion, economic fairness, concern for our brothers and sisters, justice, love. All are anchored in the faith that there is a purpose and a value to life that is greater than our collective quest for personal achievement and daily comfort. The Holy Spirit inspires us to challenge the norms of the wider culture. Living an inspired life, a spirit-filled life, is not just being good to our friends and those people we know, but also extending ourselves a hand to our enemies and persons that we don't know. It means striving for sustainable food, shelter, health care, and employment for all. It is fair and equitable inclusion of immigrants. It is a comprehensive and listening and responsiveness to those who are on the fringes of society. It is standing against gun violence, racism, and all the isms. It is to confront evil with tough love, a just resistance, and measured boundaries. And it is to spend our lives inspired by a God who loves us into being and guides and directs us to live fruitful lives, imitating Christ as best we can every day.